The following is audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you would like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.
Dear Lord, we come before you in a time when chaos seems to reign, and yet you are the God who reigns. You are the Lord of all. You are not the author of sin, but you are the author of righteousness. And when we cry out to you, Lord, because we want to be people showing the genuineness of our faith by being honest, by being transparent, by being people who are fair and good and loving and kind, merciful, gracious. Oh, God, help us to be people like that. Help us to be light in the darkness and not overcome by the darkness. Lord, we give these gifts to you today because we believe that your work is important, essential, and it's going on, and we want to be part of it. So bless these gifts. Thank you for the generosity of God's people here, not just with their money, but with their time and their talents. Oh, God, help us to be all that you desire us to be. Fellowship Community Church, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This past year, we settled in on a verse in Philippians, which talked about being partners, partnership, koinonia. And it was Philippians 1:5. And what a great verse it was. What a great theme we had. What a great season we had. There's a lot of things that we get to celebrate because there were many, many blessings over the year. That's what we're going to do the last week of August, Lord willing. We're going to have a picnic, and we're going to just celebrate so many wonderful things that we saw God do this past year. So I'm looking forward to that. I hope you're looking forward to that. But we're starting a new year of ministry today, and so I was meditating on our mission statement. We invite all generations and all cultures to share life together, that all might be transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. And the word that God kept bringing up to me and the word that kept captivating my interest and my attention was and is the word transformed. Not just people coming to meet Jesus, that's important, but then being transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. And so I searched the scripture because what is transformation? You know, how can we experience it? I mean, really? And what are the effects of this? What sort of fruit should we be seeing? And will we see if we take this seriously? These are just some of the questions we're going to try to answer over this coming year, and certainly in the next few weeks when we talk about beholding Christ and being renewed and making sacrifice. So the title is Transformation Is, and there's our mission statement, as you know it well, transformed by the power of Jesus Christ, and metamorphosis is the word. So some of you are old enough to know bullfrogs and butterflies. Bullfrogs, butterflies. That's a Barry McGuire song, by the way. And bullfrogs and butterflies go through a metamorphosis. This is what scientists call it. You know, they change from one form to another form. From a caterpillar to a butterfly. From a tadpole to a frog. And this is the term that appears in the New Testament, and it is the word that is found in the verse that we've chosen, and it's this theme, to change form. Now, there are some other words in Greek that are somewhat similar. One means the appearance of, to appear differently, but that's not metamorphosis. And then there's another word that speaks of a change that is outside only. The morphos at the end of that word, it really means the inner essence, the reality. Not just some outward change, but no, an inner change And morphe is, interestingly enough, as a noun alone, only appears twice in the New Testament. So the Greeks talked about their gods becoming human beings, and they called it metamorphosis. Or human beings becoming gods, and they called it metamorphosis. Paul writes in this beautiful hymn of the first century, who being in very nature God, morphe, totally, 100%, forever and ever, God. Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage or grasped or needed to be protected. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature, the very morphe of a servant being made in human likeness. So he became a servant in essence, in reality, in every way. We saw this in the Gospel of Mark when it said he didn't come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. Now, he's still God, a very God, but he became a servant on the earth. And he did it by taking on true humanity, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. And I think Paul then took a deep breath and said, even death on a cross. So this is not metamorphosis. He was God and always God. He took on human nature, took on another form, but he remains uniquely the God-man. That's not metamorphosis. Interestingly enough, there was a time when he was metamorphosized. Some of you are aware of this. It's kind of an interesting story, isn't it? Just after Peter had confessed, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God," he takes Peter, James, and John up on a mountain, a high mountain. And there he was metamorphosized, transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. The revelation of his deity was seen, and it was bright. And Peter and the others are just amazed and worshiping him. And then, you know, Elijah and Moses show up and they talk about the cross and his exodus that's coming. And I've always asked, did they have name tags on? And I don't think so. But anyway, there's this holy conversation going on. And then the Father can't stop. He has to say his word. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to him." Now, that is a transfiguration, a metamorphosizing, displaying his deity to those. Now, again, the Lord promised that someday he will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Now, that's the glorious body that he rose again from the dead in. It's still a human body. He's in a human body today. It's glorious. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's praying for us. Glorified, resurrected human body at the throne of heaven. That's the body we're going to receive because we're not going to become gods. That's heresy. People that say that are wrong. That is not what the destiny is. The destiny is we're going to be glorified in human bodies. Yeah, hallelujah, with no sin nature and no sin and no tears and no disease and on it goes, right? But that is not becoming God. That's different. However, the term is used in the present tense. And amazingly, we're going to study this the next couple of weeks because we want to be transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. So 2 Corinthians 3:18, this is the verse we're having for the year. "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Woof! You know, I might ask you, have you ever experienced a miracle? And you probably, every day. Every day, this verse is promising that something miraculous is going on in the believer. Man, that helped me get up in the morning. I don't need coffee, I tell you that. So, let's investigate five descriptions of biblical transformation from this one verse. First, biblical transformation is universal. He said, and we all. You know, we think, oh, this is just for a special class of people. No, this is for everybody. The potential is here, as Ed was just trying to exhort you. We all. If he was a Texan, he would have said, all we all, or all you all, or whatever, however that goes. But you notice that Paul wrote the letter to believers. The church, holy people. If you've studied the church at Corinth, believe me, they didn't always act holy. But they were holy. And they're being transformed. We all are. It's always available. It's always active. Now, we can resist it. We can ignore it. But we don't want that. Because God began a good work in us, and we want to see it to the day of completion. Yeah. See, that's our hearts. That's our desire. Read recently of a book written by Tim Tebow, and he's describing a time when he is in a very famous art museum in Europe. Now, he says, I'm no art critic. I'm no, you know, he's a football player, as you know, right? But he's in this art museum, and one of the Rembrandts in that particular museum, called the Standard Bearer, the price tag for it was 175 million euros. So there's some really impressive art in this museum. And he noticed a group of people just studying this other picture of art, and they're just examining it, and they're looking at it closely, you know. And they got their cell phones out. They're taking pictures and this and that. And it occurred to Tim, he said, you know, they ought to turn it to a selfie. If they really want to see something impressive, how God made you, how God made me. He goes, man, that's the real impressive masterpiece, because we were created in Christ Jesus to be his workmanship, his masterpiece. That's amazing. Good job, Tim. Pretty good for a football player. Hey, how about it? Have you ever been to a wedding when the bride looked terrible? Like, I mean, in rags and ugly and dirty and all that? Probably not. And God uses this, Paul does, in Ephesians, to describe the church. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. That moment, that day, that's what we'll look like in Christ. And he says later, you know, I am talking about Christ. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, two become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. We all are being transformed. That's what's so beautiful. It's universal. It isn't for just one class of people over another. No. It's for every believer. No matter how old, no matter how young. Hallelujah. Secondly, this transformation is uncomplicated. I kind of like this because, you know, some groups teach you got 8 paths till nirvana. Nirvana isn't real anyway, so don't bother with that. But I'm just saying, this is really simple. With unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory. That's the Lord's beauty. That's his character. That's who he is. That's his goodness and his love and his mercy and on and on. That's what the glory of God is. And we are called to contemplate it. to look in it like it was a mirror. To study it. To meditate on it. Notice, when you look in a mirror, first you contemplate and then you reflect. Because the word also has that kind of meaning. We do it with unveiled faces. That's very interesting. He says that because earlier he talked about Moses. Moses met God face to face, and when he left God's presence, he would put on a veil. Do you remember why? Because the glory on his face was fading, and he didn't want the people to see that. But we go into God's presence with a veil, unveiled face, and we walk around with unveiled faces. Why? Because it's getting brighter. It's not diminishing. No, no, no. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, we are growing. We are reflecting more and more of his glory. And that makes us bold. That makes us transparent. We can be honest. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. I was reminded of this recently. I said it before. Abraham Lincoln said, if you're going to be a liar, you better have a good memory. Because you got to know who you lied to, what lie you... Boy, it's so much better to just live simply. Just reflect the Lord's glory. Contemplate his glory. You have a choice. You and I have a choice. We can ponder the glory. We can investigate it. Or we can choose not to. So, Helen Lamell was a Methodist pastor's kid. She was born in England. She came to America. She lived in the Seattle area as a child, and she became an incredible vocalist. She was so impressive. They sent her to Europe. She studied in Europe. She came back. She's singing, and she just has quite a reputation to be an amazing singer. She ends up taking her gifts to Moody Bible Institute so that she can use her gifts for God. She teaches vocal at the school. And then she hooks up with this guy, Billy Sunday. I don't know how much you know about Billy Sunday. He's an old baseball player. They didn't make any money. Actually, he tried to propose to a woman, and the father said, you got to leave baseball if you're going to marry my wife or my daughter. So he did, and he became an evangelist. And, man, if you want some entertainment, look up Billy Sunday. I mean, he was a character. And it just seems like this very refined, cultured woman is now a key musician for Billy Sunday. It is an interesting combination. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. See, there are seasons like that, aren't there? You're looking for light, you can't find it. You're just overwhelmed with anxiety and trouble. So, she got some advice for you. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. What a song. What a song. What a truth. See, that's what Paul's calling us to. Transformation is uncomplicated. It's also unfailing. It says very honestly, are being transformed. It is currently happening. Now, what's really important about that verb, let me give you a little lesson. It's in the passive voice. Now, why is that so important? Because it's God doing it. I can't do it for you. A group of us can't do it for you. You can't do it for yourself. It's a gift, totally, that God does in us. We are being transformed. Man, that's just amazing. And so, Lord, I don't want to do anything to impede it. So when we looked at Psalm 51, create in me a pure heart, O God, renew a steadfast spirit within me, restore to me the joy of your salvation, grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. What's it going to look like? It's going to look like the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Because it's his fruit. He's doing the work. And by the way, this year we're going to take a month. Each month we're going to kind of look a little as a backdrop to this at the fruit of the Spirit. So in October, it'll be love, and then in November, it'll be joy, and we get to Christmas, and it'll be peace. And so every month, we're going to take a little journey down an investigation of these fruit of the Spirit. By the way, you don't get to pick and choose. It's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits. Oh, well, I can be self-controlled. I just can't be patient. Oh, no, no. Oh, no. It's a complete package. Hallelujah. And God's doing it. It's his transforming power. And it's so amazing when God is doing it. It's so obvious. And it's so obvious we didn't reform ourselves. He did it. Lee Strobel, you might remember, was gloriously converted to faith in Jesus Christ. Wrote some books, still teaching, evangelizing. How can I tell you the difference God made in my life? My daughter Allison was 5 years old when I became a follower of Jesus, and all she had known those 5 years was a dad who was profane and angry. I remember I came home one night and kicked a hole in the living room wall just out of anger with life. I'm ashamed to think of the times Allison hid herself in her room to get away from me. 5 months after I gave my life to Jesus Christ, that little girl went to my wife and said, "Mommy, I want God to do for me what he's done for Daddy." At age 5, she was saying this. She never studied archaeological evidence. All she knew was that her dad used to be this way, hard to live with, but more and more her dad was becoming a new way. And she wanted it. That's transformation, isn't it? Not just justification when we first trust Christ, but a growing relationship where we are being transformed. Okay. It's unfailing. It's also uniformed. At the 9 o'clock arrow, I tried to say uninformed. Oh, my goodness. I'm showing my age here. Uniformed. We're going to look like Jesus. See, that's the key. Into his image with ever-increasing glory. Isn't that amazing? It continues to grow. But it's him. I love Romans 8:28. We know that God works all things together for good. My problem is my definition of good and God's definition of good aren't always the same. My definition of good is peaceful, comfortable, easy. Sometimes God puts into the mix afflictions and suffering and even doubts. But the end is we become like Jesus. Don't leave 29 out. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. All the glory goes to him. We want to be like him. Now, we're not all the same. We still have diversity, but we have unity in Christ. And it's uniformed. And the perfections and glories that are in God are beginning to be seen in us. We'll never become perfect, but we're growing. We're being transformed, and it's uniformed. John Piper says it this way: sin promotes short-term pleasures, but ends in long-term misery. Christ promises short-term hardship that results in everlasting happiness. Child of the King, being transfigured. Inside, old ways, old attitudes, old habits, passing away, new or emerging. Hallelujah. It's also unexplainable. Why? Because it's God's work, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, we studied this when we looked in the Gospel of John and we saw the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who is doing this transforming work. It's miraculous. 100% a gift. We can't earn it. We can't pay for it. We can't get a self-help book. No, no, no. It's Holy Spirit help. It's His amazing work in us. And it's all of grace. It's all free. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the perfections of love and all these incredibly wonderful perfections of character. The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Out of His fullness, we have received grace in place of grace already given. Grace upon grace upon grace. It's all grace story. Your story is a grace story, and it's for His glory, and amazingly, we are displaying this glory to a lost and dying and dark world. That's what we are called to do. We connect with Christ. We connect in community with others for the purpose of connecting to the culture. Those who don't yet know the Lord Jesus Christ. So I thought to myself, okay, who met Jesus or who met God in the scriptures that we could investigate, that we could use as an example of this? And I thought about Moses at the burning bush, and maybe we'll look at that. I thought about Elijah on Mount Carmel, man, when the whole nation was changed. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. But then I thought of Isaiah. And I've been reading on Isaiah in my devotional life. So let's take Isaiah as an example of this, how he was transformed. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Wow! He really saw the Lord. He's contemplating. He's investigating. He's observing the glory of God and all His glory. And you know, as we read on, it had an effect. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined." When you see the holiness of God and you compare it to your own unholiness, you feel that way. "I live among a people of unclean lips, and I have unclean lips." And as you know, as the story goes, the Lord directs one of the seraphim, and He takes a live coal in His hand, which He had taken from tongs from the altar. With it, He touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. You're forgiven." The transformation begins. And so what happens? I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom will I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." That's the goal. That's my prayer. That what happened to Isaiah will happen to us. That we will eagerly pursue being transformed. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. But Lord, create in us a desire to be the people You really called us to be. Let us experience the fullness of this transformation. Yes, it begins with knowing Christ, but it doesn't end there. There are many, many days and experiences and blessings to come. And so, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be filled. Oh, Lord, create in us a hunger for what's right, a thirst. God will do it.
You've been listening to audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you'd like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.